Hey guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents. Tell me why you're special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about purpose, we talk about why you're still hesitating to step into it. Because the truth is, a lot of people feel called to something more, but they don't move. Not because they don't want to, not because they don't see it, but because they don't believe that they're enough for it. And that fear, it's going to keep you stuck for years. God does not call you based on your comfort, He calls you based on your obedience. So if you've ever felt that pull and doubted yourself, this conversation is going to speak straight to you. Today's guest is Julie Grimm. She's a business owner and guide helping people step into what they feel called to do, even when they don't feel ready. So, Julie, this is, I guess, my first question for you to kind of capture the audience. It's funny because I was doing this like pre-interview, like when, but I think it's a great message for our audience. What is this year, everything works out for you? What is the message, Julie, that you want to be known for?
For me in my specific work, break the box, take a hammer to it, break the box.
I
I
love
think
that.
two things, break the box and permission to live your life.
And what do you, so my listeners today, I figure that's kind of going to be the underlying for the message. What do you want them to do with that?
Yeah, so here's two things. I work with a lot of people, and there's a way that they almost feel like although they have their life, they have all their choices, maybe they even live independently. They're still relying on people outside of them for decisions, or even don't feel permission to make the decision for themselves. And I love, you're talking about God here asking for obedience, but for me, it's obedience to God, to your spirit, to your divinity, and not anybody else's. They got their magic ticket, which is AKA life, permission slip to live from God. It's a massive, massive gift. But where people don't, even though they have that, they still feel, okay, no, I have to live according to somebody else's rules. And that's often the box that then we generate and we create. And then we're in these unfulfilling relationships, unfulfilling jobs, where we feel like, yes, I have my home. Maybe I even have my family, but I'm not there. I'm not present. I'm catering to everybody around me. And yet, I don't feel that I have permission to live how I really want to live. So,
I
if you're
love that.
breathing, permission
Yes.
slip granted.
Exactly. And also, if you're breathing with that permission slip, like your story matters. And that's the essence of this whole show is that everybody's in the arena. We're all going through it. And sharing your story, I think, is very important. My next question for you, is like, what is your origin story? I feel like everybody has one, where there was something in your life that happened and now you're out here helping other people.
Yeah, my story is I took a pretty big left-hand turn. I'm a scientist by training, have a master's degree in biology. I wanted to be a scientist. I basically was an atheist. I didn't really believe in God, which led me to live a bit recklessly in a sense where it was like it didn't matter. And then that translates eventually to I don't matter, right? Because if it doesn't matter, then
Nothing
how you spend
matters.
your time doesn't really matter. And then you start to go, well, do I even matter? But I had a pretty profound spiritual awakening about 12 years ago now, that allowed me to see auras, feel chakras that changed my life. And I couldn't put it back in the box. I desperately tried to. I didn't really want it. It was inconvenient. It wasn't what I was looking for. I just wanted to put my little scientist hat on. But the end of that was that I had to go on this journey, which was there's so much more to life than I ever possibly imagined. And as well, there's so much more joy and goodness possible in life that, again, I never possibly imagined. And so for me, you don't have to be as far down the hill as I was to be an atheist, but just those people that they feel that there's more, that they know that there's more, but they're not able to get there. Those are the people that I want to help because I totally get it and I was there.
I love that. And that's a powerful mission. Also, what I've realized is it's one that can't be ignored. Like, I mean, it's I feel like, God puts the calling and ignoring it leaves you, your heart and your brain just never have that coherence and you're never settled inside yourself. It's crazy. I have another question for you, I guess. Go ahead, and this is usually my launch question, like your elevator pitch. So, what is it that you are currently doing? What does your work look like? And yeah, let's start there.
I'm a spiritual guide, so I offer spiritual guidance to people that can look like relationships, again, purpose, job. It can look like, again, just that sort of underlying sense of lack of fulfillment without even really knowing why. Maybe on paper, everything looks good, but you know, because there's a lack of alignment with the true self. And so I do a lot of one-on-one work. I'm here in Wellesley, just outside of Boston, Massachusetts. A lot of in-person energy healing. I do 2-day intensive spiritual trainings. All of that is to give people a structured, supportive, daily technique that they can use to redirect when they feel like they're getting off the beaten path. And as well, what you're talking about, it takes courage. It takes daily courage. So I'm here as an advisor, I'm here as a support, and I do offer, structured tools, practices that you can use every day to keep you going in the right direction, when times are good and when times are bad, because we need it all the time.
Yeah. I mean, we're in the arena. Life is happening all the time. We don't escape the gauntlet of life. You are working with people that where you can relate to them on that feeling of they're not enough. And someone listening right now, how does that show up? How do they recognize that, maybe they haven't been honest about that feeling? They've not named it,
Oh,
right?
let me tell you how it
Yeah,
shows up.
please.
It will show up literally in everything,
Yeah.
literally everything. Okay, examine every choice that you make in a day. Are you choosing the food that you want, or are you compromising? Oh, it's good enough, or it's cheaper, maybe. I understand that we do need to be, comprehensive with our finances, but are you always minimizing, like literally to the point of the difference of one apple to another, that that's the apple that you want, but you go for the other apple? Okay.
Yeah.
And then imagine that. So that's happening. I know people are doing that. I did that. I know you're doing it. Then apply that to the job, apply that to the apartment, apply that to literally how you even like decorate your home, apply that to the partners that you pick. So I work with a lot of people where they have heavily compromised in the arena of personal relationships, to the extent that they're in relationships with people who are like gambling addicts or recovered alcoholics, where they're, again, it's not about, I mean, being with somebody who's an active addiction, I would say, is problematic, but it's situations where they're constantly overgiving to
Yeah.
the other and not receiving back in comparable measure. But I swear it shows up even down to, are you buying the apple that you actually want to buy? Or maybe you didn't even want an apple. Maybe you
Yeah.
wanted a pineapple, but for some reason you rationalized yourself out of that purchase. And the universe is energetic, it's holographic. So if you're compromising on something that small, it's basically like, okay, great, sure, then we don't have to really give you anything. Then you'll just make do with whatever. Right. And so there's a place for being scrappy, making it happen. That's all really wonderful. We want to make sure that we can do that. But on the other hand, there's a time for embracing our true desires, even acknowledging to ourselves that that is what we want. When we go out to eat at a restaurant, are you actually ordering what you want? Or are you ordering, I don't know, what you think the other person can pay for? No.
That's an interesting concept. So I say thank
Yeah.
you for sharing that.
No,
And
it's the micro. That's the micro.
yeah.
And then the macro, now you're thinking about having a baby with somebody who has a gambling addiction. And
Yeah.
it's like, what kind of father are they going to be? I wonder, they can be a quote unquote a wonderful person, but let me tell you're going to run into some serious problems down the line.
Right. I think a lot of things that kind a lot of what moves people or not moves them, but like what keeps them stuck is really I think fear is a huge thing. So you've got people staying in the compromised relationship because of fear. You've got people, I feel like it's that fear, that underlying fear, not even necessarily, like you're not good enough, but some people just really aren't taught to trust, right? Like they all of those things. So, how do you work people through that process of getting through the fear and embracing the fact that they are enough?
They're more than enough. Yeah. So
Yeah.
that's part of what I love being a spiritual guide. So we talk, I do talk to my clients. Obviously, we need rapport, but I do energy healing sessions. And literally, the session is designed to plug you back into spirit because the light of your spirit has it's invaluable. How like to even say that possibly it didn't matter or had no value or whatever is like actually hilarious if we take a big step back. And as well, we have this whole gift of life. Again, it's like, why would God bring you here without a purpose, without you mattering? Like if you could see for a moment through those eyes and see the truth of how precious you are and how precious your energy was, like everything would shift in one moment. So part of those healing sessions is literally plugging you back into that light so it can flow down into your life. And through that energy, you go, oh my God, what was I doing? Like, wake up. What have I been up to? And I do see, I kind of, I don't always advertise this, but a lot of people I work with, they have breakups like within a month. Sometimes that day they go home and it's done. And I always say, you know, what I'm offering, it's not adding anything. It's simply turning on the lights to what was already going on and where you minimized, you compromised, you self-sacrificed. And now it's like, oh, I'm really done with that pattern because an aspect of me remembers, first of all, how precious my life is, how precious my energy is, and that what I really want matters. And therefore, I can't compromise this anymore.
Now, I don't know if that's a hell of a selling point. I'm thinking, are people like, Julie, okay, I want this deadbeat off my couch. I need that appointment right now because that's hilarious. So,
Yeah,
no,
it does
someone's like,
happen. It
yes.
does happen. And then more often than not, it's really funny because we'll do the consult and different things will come up in the consult. And then sometimes I don't even know. I know nothing. I know no information about the partner. Maybe I don't, you know, they just mentioned it. And then we do the check-in 3 weeks later. Oh, by the way, I'm in the process of a divorce. Oh, by the way, you know, this, that, the other thing. And it's happened now so many times that I'm just like, okay, that's part of it.
It's a put that as a disclaimer or like a warning, like
Yeah,
possibly
I
your
should
relationships
really.
are going to change.
Yeah.
What is the difference like in people in this human experience between like how would you speak to someone to decipher, you know, the fear or just actual misalignment?
Yeah, that is such a good question. Because especially when you're working with somebody who's, for example, experienced quite a lot of trauma. We can have fear in our body of the good thing, of the best thing, of the thing that we need to do. And we can have as well that misalignment, which is what you're kind of talking about. So it is a personal inner relationship that needs to de be developed and it needs to be developed over time. So it's not something to be rushed, but ultimately it's the relationship with the self, with understanding, okay, this happened last time and I listened to it and it didn't work out. So let me try something new. But it's a matter of, first of all, we want to get quiet, like meditation, journaling, reflection. Those are really, really wonderful exercises. And from that, we also want to not believe everything our mind says. I know it's a bit controversial, but it's like, I'm not saying don't believe yourself. I'm saying specifically, your mind will manipulate you. And we often fall for those traps. So a lot of times I'll see people feel intense guilt, for example. You know, you're dating or potentially even married to somebody who's a gambling addict, and you want to end it with them, but they're like, I'll never have another person who's like you. I'm going to be alone forever. So you feel guilt. You feel a sense of like, oh, I shouldn't abandon this person because I don't want to do them wrong. But meanwhile, you're totally abandoning yourself. And so that's where we need to start to have a little bit of discernment and a little bit of a different perspective. To go a bit deeper and not just listen to the point blank story, because that point blank story, it honestly might be the self-sabotage, where especially if the emotional upset is kind of disproportional to what's happened, that's where I'm often like, there's something deeper at play here that we need to take a moment to evaluate. And from that, then we can start to have clarity about the next right step.
I love that. And the next right step is always the move. Like if someone is listening and they're just kind of like, I don't even know. It's if you could think of the little tiny right next thing to do, I think that's huge. And something I really want, you know, listeners to understand through this show is that whatever you do, you know, everyone's waiting to feel ready. And there's no such thing. Can you give us an example of, you know, the fact you're not ready and you move anyway? And
Girl, each and every day, each and every
exactly.
day. Here's what I'll say, and it kind of goes on exactly what you had just said the moment before. Baby steps. Take it real slow. Take it so slow. If you're not ready, so here's the thing that we might get an inspiration. We might get the big picture from God, and we're going to be terrified because it's going to feel so big. Oh my gosh, how could I ever do that? And here's the thing, you're not meant to be that tomorrow. That's the big picture. You're meant to be that. Maybe it's a year, two, maybe it's 5 years down the line. So just as you've gotten that big picture, you're going to get guidance on little next steps. And sometimes literally the next step is clean your house. Guess what? All of us, we can clean our houses. You don't have to be afraid. You know, you might not want to. That's the other issue. But sometimes it's literally like go for a walk, do an exercise class. You know, it's not always, oh, I'm going to go quit my job. I'm going to go put myself in a 30-person networking event and then promote myself. Sometimes it's literally organize your cabinets. Like your house is a mess. Put it in order for the love of God.
Oh
And
my
that is.
God, can you see my office right now? How embarrassing. I have
No,
no
you're not at
concept of that.
all. I'm not at all because I'm only saying it because I've literally received that message.
Right?
You're like, God, spirit, like, what am I to do today? What? And it's like, please fold your laundry.
Yes.
And that's where we think it doesn't matter because we just want to be in the big picture glamour, which also can terrify us. And so if you're in that freeze state because the big picture is too big, look around, see what's right in front of you. I'm sure there's ample opportunity for you to be, as you said, in obedience to God, in obedience to your calling that doesn't always put you at that forefront of the terror zone and the comfort zone. And it might also be kind of quote unquote uncomfortable, but uncomfortable because it's simply not yet part of your routine. Like, are you making your bed every day? Again, we mentioned meditation or journaling. Are you doing those things? Like, those are really easy. Not, simple is maybe a better word for it. Things that we can be involved in that are absolutely steps towards that big picture that don't have to be like the full bungee jump leap of faith.
I love that. And not having that full bungee jump too. I could definitely relate to that, 'cause I was looking for everything outside of myself for a very long time. And I used to joke, like even in my early podcast years, I would be like, there's no guidebook to life, y'all. And for me, I found the Bible, and I'm reading this book, and I'm like, this is the guide, right? Like, Christ became this huge guide, and it's very, very clear in there, you know, just get focused on he's the model, right? And I look now like at society, and I look at all the noise, and you know, all of it's in there. I'm talking like, you know, to have the quiet moments of thought, it's in there. To get outside and get fresh air, it's in there. To, you know, simple things like drink your water, right? Eat real food. All these simple things that I think everyone is so lost out in social media land, in comparison land, in I think if you've ever thought you're not enough, and you open up this thing, it's going to give you and your brain all the proof and truth that, yeah, you're not enough. Because look what they're doing, look what they're doing, what they're doing. What do you think that social media has done to how much has it affected that feeling of people not being enough, and how much has it taken away from just the core basics of life? Sunshine, food, journaling, writing, meditation.
Yeah, no, it's such a good point. And it's also, I think we can get, here we are, we're on the podcast, but honestly, there can even be that podcast glamour and the coaching glamour and this kind of, it's the flashy lights, it's the glitzy. And yeah, maybe for some people that is the appropriate path. I know for me, it was slow and steady, very consistent. Sometimes there were big stretches, but more often than not, it was like down and dirty, humbling work that literally any person could do. You do not need a fancy degree. You do not need to be rocket science. It's like, one by one by one, that's how we build. And so if somebody's getting all their information, because that's a whole nother thing, right? That we want to get all of our, you're talking about our guidebook from life, and we're using social media as the guidebook for life. Look, I'm sorry to tell you, your guidebook is going to lead you real astray. 'Cause, and I do see that within people. I talk about it almost like programming, that our mind gets programmed because we're quite sensitive actually to our environment. And so if we allow ourselves to be programmed by all these, it's basically just opinions of other people that, sure, half the time maybe they're right, but sometimes maybe they're wrong. And then all of a sudden, that's your guidebook. That's your rule book. You know, none of us would date anybody. None of us would end up getting married. We'd all feel like I'm about a bad mother if we rely too much, you know, because there's always a way that we're going to contradict ourselves. So I love that you found the Bible. You know, we need that resource that's an advisor that's reliable. And social media is not that.
Is not it. And
It's not it.
you said programming. That's exactly what social media has done. I did the research on how much money they spend with psychologists, with, I mean, all these people to intentionally, mess with algorithms to keep people, kind of stuck. And I think, with just the systems in their entirety, if the whole world could just kind of unplug again and get back to that basics and get back to, like, can you sit in a room by yourself quietly? I have six kids. I can't wait for that time, right? I'm in the car, like, no music. It's quiet. I'm like, this is so great. I love the quiet time. But the conversations I'm having, it's crazy, Julie, because a lot of people cannot sit in a quiet room. And it's kind of that, like, having to face themselves, right? Why do you think that people move in so much fear of just even facing themselves?
Yeah. So again, it kind of goes back to what I see when I work with my clients, for example, that there's truths within them that they're probably already aware of. Maybe they don't see it full on face to face, but they have a sense that it exists. And to face it would mean that they would need to change something within their life that perhaps they don't want to change. You know, change, even good change, is quite hard for us as
It's
humans.
scary.
Yeah, it's scary. We like routine, we like ritual, we like familiar faces. And so even if it's a wonderful thing, you got a new job and you're getting promoted and you're paid all this money, the first couple weeks of work, you're zonked, you're exhausted because energetically it's quite a lot on the system. And so when we take that time, when we tune in, we might find things that are going to they're going to change our life. And that comes back to what you're talking about with readiness. And we're going to start to not feel ready. And that's where it's like one little incremental step. It doesn't all have to happen at once. And as well, the one other thing I'll say about facing yourself is that sometimes there's pain involved. You know, when we face the truth, it can be painful.
Of course.
And that, again, we as humans, we are wired to avoid the pain. Now, here's the funny thing is that we will suffer way more trying to avoid the pain than taking 5 minutes to face the pain ever was. But that's, again, our psychology.
Thank you for saying that, because I feel like a lot of people stay in that space of not understanding the cost. And the cost is, like, you're going to suffer so much more and for so much longer than if you just rip the band-aid off, right? Like, building this whole life around avoiding the pain, that's exhausting. Trying to mask, the outside when it doesn't match it, and that's exhausting. Like, that stuff is tiring. There's a huge price. I love that you said that. What does it take, definitely speaking to someone who may not understand my method, right? Like, when I don't trust in myself, I give it to God, right? I'm like, okay, I see you want me to steward this. I didn't trust myself to have an interview show. I kicked and screamed the whole way here. I'm like, God, I know you're not serious. Like, have you seen my face? Do you know how I speak? Like, I can't do this. And I didn't trust myself in that moment. I still felt that I needed to do it. I give that over to Christ. But someone who doesn't understand what that's like, or isn't in the same season I'm in, right? How would you teach them to really just trust themselves in that moment to move forward?
Yeah, I love that question. And here's again where the small steps add up, because as we trust ourselves in the small, we show ourselves that we can show up in the big. So I love you're basically saying, I'm not sure I trust myself, but I trust God. Therefore, God, hold my hand,
There it
baby.
is.
Yeah. And here's where we can build self-trust through, okay, I said again, I'm going to make my bed every day because now I understand this is part of my mind being screwed on right. Okay, now I'm going to hold myself accountable. And as I can consistently show up and do that for myself, I start to build that relationship of trust within the self. And from that, again, that's the foundation that I stand upon to take the big step, to have the courage to show up and to make it happen. So, I do believe, especially for the really big things, we need God and we can't do it without God. And that was a huge part of my journey because I was basically an atheist. So let me tell you, I was
I
trying to
love
do it without
that.
God. And that I couldn't. I re for the big stuff, we're talking about life calling. You can't, I don't think you can. For me, I couldn't. I know I couldn't.
No, I agree with that. I have a two-part question now because you've touched on two really great things there. Doing that small thing every day, that is a very unsexy, unglamorous part of growth in life, right? To wake up and do the same thing, get on the treadmill every single morning. Like nobody, there's no accolades, there's no Facebook likes, nobody cares. If you don't do it, nobody's ever going to know, but it is really that trust. And so just showing up for yourself, very uncool. Okay, I get that, everybody. That's part of lifing. Like you're talking about food in the beginning, and I'm laughing because I'm on a calorie deficit, but I have to be high protein, and I'm like, no, I'm not eating what I want. I'm sick of ground beef and rice, just little things like that. But knowing the sacrifice of what I'm doing is worth it. And it's the same thing if you guys can just understand, I even just working out, like I was an all or nothing. All or nothing. Either I'm going to go ham and it's going to be 10,000 steps before noon. I'm getting my weightlifting done. Life happens and I would quit. If I missed a day, it would be months before I do anything again. I would do something so small as to like set a timer, like 10 minutes, right? Just 10 minutes. Can I get on the treadmill for 10 minutes every day? And once you prove that to yourself, then you're like, oh my gosh. And most of the time you stay longer. I know that's a weird hack, setting a timer, but very unsexy things of just doing the things to build that trust with yourself. It's like building the muscle. You just got to show up and do it and give yourself a shit ton of grace. And then you're talking about your calling. Like, how do you know how, if you're talking to a listener and they're like, how do I know something is truly my calling? How do you know?
All right. Well, it keeps on coming back to you. You toss it away. You toss it far, far away. You go, that couldn't be possibly it. And then it keeps coming back to you, probably your calling. And here's the other thing. Which maybe it's super practical, but like just do it and you will find out because you will be redirected. So here's the other thing. You get the big picture, you get the download. Oh my God, that's crazy. How am I ever going to do that? You take the little step. You go to the networking thing, you talk to three people. Oh, they know a person. All of a sudden, a door just opened. So through our little tiny everyday steps, we get directed and we get redirected. If I were to just live with my big plan up here in my mind for a year, I'm already preventing myself from getting the feedback that I would get if I put it into action. So, for example, okay, listeners, we have a new business idea. Yes. Am I fighting about it? Yes. Do I want to do it? Not really. Is it my calling? I guess so. Okay. What I did literally this morning, I bought the domain.
Nice.
Baby step. Baby step, right? So, but now I bought the domain and in buying the domain, okay, so the name is going to be a little bit like this. Already there's a redirection happening because of what's available, what I can find, what I can see, and so that is life. And it's not meant to be lived only through the mind and ideas. We have to put it into practical action. When we put it into practical action, we instantly get the feedback. And honestly, for me, I started a business once that was a throwaway. Throwaway idea. And all of a sudden, kind of out of nowhere, but obviously we know now that's from, all of the previous work that I had done and the prayers and everything else I had done prior, this huge thing just blossomed where I really from my mind thought this is not really much of anything. And all of a sudden it was. So that's where we can't be the editor of everything. We have to try it out. We have to let life give us the feedback. And allow ourselves to be redirected by life because I've also gotten burned by some of my decisions, and that's part of it.
Yeah, that's the lesson though, right? Like, what did you learn from getting
Oh my gosh.
burned?
I mean, being overly optimistic, overly naive, the practicality of running a business, how to monetize things, how to sell it. Like, there's just so much that I learned. And ultimately, also, it wasn't that my calling was wrong or my idea was wrong, but my execution was incorrect. And so I needed to be sensitive to that redirection. And that's how it's going to be, right? That's how it's going to go.
I love that. We are almost up on our time here, so I want to ask one final question. If right now, what area of your life are you still playing small with or in something that you already know you're called to?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm on this podcast, I guess, for a reason. I just got a big download about different ways that I was still minimizing, even after all this time. And I really do think, again, because when we work with God, we're working with spirit. We're working with our spirit. And that's totally beyond our human mind. Really, it truly is. And so the bigness of who we really are is beyond. We will all probably pass, and then we'll look back and we'll still laugh at ourselves because
We're laughing.
we'll be like, I had no idea. And here we are hemming and hawing over this decision, that decision. And we're like, oh my God, we're children of God. Come on, guys, just live. And so, yeah, just I moved recently into a new home. And for the first time, literally ever, I'm decorating it exactly how I
I
want
love
to.
that.
And I'm not hemming and hawing. And even when I was talking about the Apple decision, I had the same thing. These curtains are that. Well, these are the curtains that I want, but they cost three times the amount of money. And it's like, oh, I'm gonna fucking go for them. I'm gonna go for them. That's
Exactly.
happening.
Yes, I love that so much. And that's probably an incredible, relatable way to leave the audience wanting more. So I'm sorry, you guys are going to have to follow Julie. Where can we find you? How do we get resourced with you?
Yeah, so my work as a spiritual guide is Spiritual Studies Institute, www.spiritualstudies-institute.com. I do have a free intuition guide there, should people want. And I've also written an ebook called About Faith, which is all about the faith journey as well. That's on Amazon.
I love that. You guys get resourced in the show notes. And Julie, this is the part of the show where I get to tell you what I think makes you special. It's not just that you talk about purpose, it's that you moved on it. Okay. I mean, that's a huge thing to think that there isn't a God in the world in one point in your life to knowing he can't be ignored anymore. And I think that in and of itself is a huge, beautiful testimony. But you would never wait till you felt ready. You didn't wait until everything made sense. You followed what you felt called to do. And now the fact that you have turned around and you're helping other people face that same moment where they have to decide, do I stay where I am or do I actually step into what I know is there? I think that is a beautiful gift. I love that you are stewarding your mission. I think that takes incredible courage and absolutely that it takes faith. And I love that you have just embraced all of that. To everyone listening, you guys already know. Let's be honest, that thing on your heart, that idea, that the direction you keep coming back to, you already know. The question is not clarity anymore. The question is, are you going to move? Do the next right thing. God did not place something in you just to watch you ignore it. He put it there for a reason. So I'm saying, step into the truth of that and be bold. And please remember that your message, your message. You guys, even the doubt, even the hesitation, even the times you don't feel ready, and we all deal with that. No matter where we are, in what chapter, it's part of the human experience. It's part of the process. If this episode spoke to you, please share it out with someone who needs it. There is someone that Julie can reach with your help. Otherwise, we can't. And I think that would be kind of selfish. So share the show. Check the show notes. And if you guys are ready for the hot seat, come tell me why you're special. Julie, this was awesome. Thank you so much. I just, God bless your mission. I love it.
Thank you so much. It was so wonderful. Thanks for having me, and thanks for everybody for listening.